All right, fuck it. We're doing it live. Oh, gosh, that joke never gets old. Thank God for Bill O'Reilly. Hello, everybody, and welcome to DPIY, Deadpool It Yourself, the show where DIY is not what we're good at, but it is how we produce content for you. I'm the Senseless Apprentice, and with me is my partner in podcast crime, Mr. Verano.
How's it going, everybody? Just wanted to say thank you for listening to us, the five people. From a year ago, we went from one to five at a norm. That has been great for us. And
Growth is growth.
we've been a slight delay in producing our shows, but hey, life gets in the way and we're just trying to truck along. And that's what we're getting right back to. So we're restructuring a few things.
Yep, we're restructuring. We're making the moves behind the scenes. We do apologize, like Verano said. We are. it's been a hell of a time, right? We've all been going through it, and I guess I think you guys can understand the stresses of work and family and life. And I got to admit, Verano's been the workhorse. He's always been willing. I've been the tired one. So, we're restructuring. We're getting back at it. And I know we say this all the time, but we are in this quarter focused on the goal of continuing to put things out more regularly and hopefully in an enjoyable format for all of you.
Yes, I am going to try and actually do some slight project and see if we can post it on our different platforms.
Nice.
Yeah, going to try and make some animation or just actual visuals to kind of play on our character.
Yeah.
So if five people really keeping an eye on us, please let us know and eventually you'll see something for once.
And if we're at issue 26 of Cable and Deadpool, so when we get to issue 50, if our five is doubled to 10, then maybe we'll choose a new storyline to go through. My vote is on the Danny Way run of Deadpool that comes right after Cable and Deadpool, but we don't have to. We could always. I've been reading a ton of shit in our off time.
You have, well, I've been watching a few other stuff, superhero related, if I'll leave it at that.
Well, we're going to talk about some of that stuff in this episode. But in upcoming episodes, I will tell you about some Ghost Rider comics that are pretty fucking amazing. I will tell you about some X-Men comics that some are really great, some are simply okay. We'll talk Wolverine Origins, Star Wars, the newest Star Wars comics, and maybe just, well, if I remember, we'll talk Venom vs. Carnage, but I barely remember to put it on my list, so I wouldn't hold your breath. But the new Defenders title and Iron Man Extremis as well. So we're getting into that promotion game. Listen to that self-promotion. Lots of fun. Anyway.
Yeah, it should be actually.
So, all right. So what came out in the past 2 months or before that we saw? Did you happen to see what was that horseshit little movie?
You mean Venom?
Spider-Man, I guess Venom too.
All right, for those actually listening to us, we were trying to for months to talk about Venom, but only since we saw it and I just missed it completely. I finally watched it. I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was funny in its little points. I think the first one was a little funnier.
I so what and here's the thing. It paid off. So that's why this movie was slightly less annoying than the first one for me is the fucking like when you watch the first one, there are a few scenes that I call like Wolverine and X-Men 2 scenes where it's like the filmmaker made the movie to be rated R, but then someone went, no, it's going to be PG-13. You take that blood out. You take it now. And they go, should I just erase the scene? And the person goes, no, leave the violence. Just take out the blood. And it becomes this wholly unbelievable scene. And the reason why, like, you remember that scene in X-Men 2 where all the Stryker's men come into the X-Men house and they're hitting the kids with darts and then Wolverine fucking impales people with his claws? Really, and it's just like, and you're like, whoa, he just stabbed that guy 6 times at once. And I'm supposed to believe that that guy's just like, my punctured lungs will be fine in the morning.
Yeah, they didn't really show any blood and guts.
No, but they don't show it, but like they straight up imply it. Like in the first movie, there's that scene where Riot just literally cuts an entire room of people in half. And you're sitting there like, wow, that was incredibly violent, but not disturbing because they just erased all the gore from the scene. Like they totally implied the gore because you plainly saw what he did, but they erased it from the scene. And like that's why at first I wanted to be annoyed with Venom 2 as well, but the whole reason they were doing that is because Sony wanted to blend, and there was every indication on the way there that Marvel would be willing up until the pre-pandemic falling out the two companies had. But then, you know, the post-pandemic, you know, we're fucked if we don't work together, led to everything panning out for both sides because, you know, Venom makes his showing in different places, and Spider-Man, as a result, showed up in the end credits scene of Venom, you know?
Yeah, but it doesn't really say why Venom just want to go after him. He just looks at him like a meal, which I was like, okay.
No, that's comic shit. You got to understand. In the comics, symbiotes have, like, their connection is, it's weird, it's hard to explain, like they have a mass consciousness that transcends space, and it's, I think it's implied, like space, time, and possibly universe. So like the reason why Venom would look at Spider-Man, even in a universe where they kind of established there was no Spider-Man, and be like, him, is because, like, the symbiote of Spider-Man because of the Venom from the original MCU universe, if there is one. Or at least every Venom is essentially, in a way, aware of at least their disdain for Spider-Man. And that's the long... And that's like the no prize excuse. The reality is the rumor right now is that, like, you know how all three Spider-Men showed up in No Way Home?
Yes, which was highly unfortunate because I did not care for Tobey Maguire.
That was my Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, I go with Andrew Garfield, you jerk.
You mean fucking Spider Twilight? Ah, oh, kiss my ass.
Didn't at least have I don't know. I just found him a little more entertaining. I cannot stand Spider-Man 3 from Tobey Maguire. It was the worst ever.
You point to the one that was universally panned. Like,
yes, I'm going to keep at it. Because he should have
even the people who love Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man look at Spider-Man 3 and go, yeah, I don't want to watch that one again.
He should have just said no. If I would have known there was that dancing in it, I'd have been like, fuck this movie.
Well, then it's good for you that the rumor is that, like, it, because the thing is, one of the rumors I heard was that, like, Tom Holland isn't done being Spider-Man, but the next time they're really interested in using him is, like, at least 5 years from now. So, like, with the inclusion of the other two Spider-Men in the multiverse, you can have them show up in different forms, even if it's just cameo shit that takes them a day to shoot. Like, you could have them show up in different forms and different things just to have a Spider-Man check-in. And that was an interesting point because another that I heard, probably from, like, Comic Storian or some shit like that, but another rumor that I heard was that, like, the next Venom movie will be like a Venom versus Spider-Man with Tom Hardy's Venom being against Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man.
I would actually appreciate that one a little more, yeah. That actually seems more legit.
But also, they in No Way Home, you saw they established they left a piece of the symbiote in Tom Holland's universe too. So, like, you can have a whole cast Venom to face Tom Holland when the time comes as well. So they can have, you know, they've basically through little details, little Easter eggs in certain scenes, they've left it open for a bunch of different shit to happen.
Well, yeah, even in Venom 2, wasn't there the extra symbiote in the cop that supposedly is killed? Because his eyes glow blue.
Killed?
Well, he was pretty much impaled. It was a cop that the Venom's wife's hated.
Yeah, but symbiote's heal, man.
Yeah, well, apparently, I'm assuming the symbiote got in him and was, like, trying to heal him, but he had still looked impaled, from at least what I recall really quick.
No, but I mean, that's the thing, is around the time of the movie, I read a bunch of Venom comics, and, like, there's a lot of shit that those symbiotes can do for the host.
No, I mean,
they can be torn in half and heal.
Now, as I'm saying, that's where it panned right there. All you saw was his eyes go blue.
Oh, that's right. Shit, it's been a while since I saw that movie.
I saw it now, so I can remind you. Yeah, I like Venom 2. Yeah, I didn't really care for the wife of What's-His-Face in the movie. I was like, it's kind of pointless, but whatever.
She's pointless in the comics. At least in the movie, the actress was good at it.
She is. Wasn't she the one from Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought that was her. All right, all right.
I forgot her name, but yeah, she was excellent in both. There's another. Oh my gosh, see, that's the thing. It's been so fucking long since I saw it. You're exactly right. I can't remember her name, but I remember looking her up soon after and like seeing she was in a bunch of shit that I liked.
She supposedly is Charybdis in the Caribbean one, but
yeah, no, she yeah.
Yeah, tying it to No Way Home, Spider-Man No Way Home, it was good. I thought it was actually really awesome to have Doctor Strange in there.
I enjoyed
up the whole timeline.
Yeah, that was nice. That was a part of the whole, you know, oh fuck, our competition just got bought by a communications giant. Let's team up and. I thought it was really good. I thought I like the Doctor Strange inclusion. I like how it's all. I do like the as much as I get annoyed by people who sit there and compare one comics company to the other and act like oh, like they're still there's a lot of money in these movies and I enjoy watching them. But it's not like I think they deserve Oscars. They're not art. They're movies for people with ADHD like me. So, like,
I mean,
like.
We're I'm also the same. I have it. I'm where I do. No good. No Way Home was great, minus freaking Tobey Maguire, but I'm not going to get back into it. It was really great one-liners. Andrew Garfield really had the funny moment of being like the middle brother who's just happy to even be there with the other two.
No, I mean, it had a bunch of cool cameos. It had a bunch of good stuff in it. We still haven't. Okay, so. We're getting ahead of ourselves, man. We didn't even give a grade for Venom. We just kind of said, "Oh, we liked it." It was on a scale that people know. So we're just going to go with the school grading scale. B. What would you give Venom?
A B.
Would you say a B?
Yeah.
You're more generous than I would. My recollection is I would give it a B minus. I like a B minus. my favorite movies are probably at C plus range anyway. So B minus is actually high praise, but. Huh?
Yeah, so who's the teacher and who isn't? More critical than me. I give it a flat B because it was funny. It really had the story going, but I could have done with a couple less characters. Okay.
And I give it a B minus because, you know what? It's a fucking Carnage movie. And I'm sorry, but if you've ever read a Carnage comic, there's a lot of stuff you shouldn't show kids. So...
They totally down. It was great, but I was like, there's so much more he does that they just cannot put in.
Then again, I did read the Venom versus Carnage comic this, or at least one of the Venom versus Carnage comics, and I found it thoroughly average. Like, if you really like the characters, pick it up. It's not, not anything. I was not a big fan.
I didn't really know that apparently Carnage is Venom's son. Seriously, I thought those were like brothers.
No.
I mean, as watching the show, I thought they were just brothers that really just freaking hated each other completely. I didn't realize that was his kid.
No, but that's the thing is like, and that's in the Venom versus Carnage comic too, is that guy whose eyes glowed blue. Like when you mentioned him, I do remember him being in the comic. In fact, he is the focus kind of the comic, being the son of Carnage. And the thing about their children is there's kind of an imperative to kill the parent.
So, no, that's why I was laughing when like he does say that, and he's just like, "Oh shit, no, no, no!" It's like, "What?" He's like, "Damn it, he's red," and it's like, "What?" And it's like, "Oh." So I thought I was been laughing more if they explained why he's red, but he was just like, "Fuck, that's my son."
Yeah. So yeah, I gave it a solid B- because they need to be more violent, or they need to be more graphic with their violence. I mean, shit, that's why I like the Suicide Squad. It was essentially Guardians of the Galaxy meets Rambo. That was fucking awesome.
That's really what it was, and freaking Weasel somehow still survives.
So anyway, now we can get to Spider-Man No Way Home, where Peter Parker reveals himself to the world, or is revealed to the world, and it kind of adapts one more day, except for the person that he goes to, instead of being Mephisto, it's Doctor Strange, and the spell goes awry. You know me, I have my ties to the comics. I do love a one more day, but I mean, that has the coolest speech from Mephisto, where he doesn't take Peter's soul, he takes his relationship to Mary Jane, and then makes Mary Jane live with the knowledge that of what she lost. And so it's essentially like she kind of gets, in the comics, she kind of gets exactly what she wants, in the sense of it's kind of like where she's famous now in the same realm as House of M. But she remembers being married to Peter, and that she loves Peter, and that they gave this all up for their safety from Peter's enemies, because he revealed himself in the Civil War. And, Mephisto basically gives a speech where he talks about how feeding off her despair at that knowledge, and her inability to reconcile that with the, and as a result, she can't enjoy the trappings of getting everything she ever wanted. He's kind of like, feeding off that is so much more delicious than feeding off a soul that I'm just so fucking tired of souls.
Well,
it's fucking cool. And then, you know, to have it be Doctor Strange just kind of fucking up at his only job, it's kind of like, damn it, we already had Slob Thor. Do we really need Slob Doctor Strange too?
It made the story kind of go along, though, that, you know, even as the Supreme, he's still human, even though we all clearly know he very much is, because he just has a big ass ego.
Well, but also, I think ever since WandaVision, they're never ever going to introduce Mephisto, because it's just going to become this big meme where it's like everybody always expects Mephisto, and it's never Mephisto, because nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah, it shouldn't. But tying in like old characters and really showing them, I liked it. You had Off, Rhino, Vulture, and they all did really well. Oh, and especially
Rhino. Cleveland.
Was it? No, it wasn't Rhino. Was it then?
It wasn't Rhino. It was, and Vulture wasn't there either.
I thought he was. I thought they tried to.
It was. Did you ever watch this fucking movie?
Yeah, it's been a while since I watched it, and I just knew someone flew. I forget. It was
Green Goblin, Dr. Octopus, Electro, Sandman.
Sandman was very forgettable, but Lizard was good.
And Lizard.
Should have thrown in Rhino. That's why I think I'm remembering that, because I wanted them there.
I have never given a shit about Rhino. I've always found Rhino to be like a third tier villain. Like, just fuck. I'd rather have a rampaging Hulk than the Rhino. I'd rather have, you know, the thing depressed than the Rhino. I'd rather have the fucking Wrecking Crew than the Rhino. I just don't care for the Rhino.
I like him just because I actually like rhinos. I think he also doesn't get any good recognition. I don't think he's exactly the worst villain. He's a dummy.
That's the other one I'd rather have. I'd rather have fucking Hammerhead than Rhino.
Well, Hammerhead's funny, all right, because he's really just a dumbass thug.
With a super fucking hard head, which is exactly what Rhino does. Rhino, like, every time you play a video game where you're supposed to fight against Rhino, your goal is to make him run into things so that you can punch him. Like, all you ever do is, like, he's Spider-Man's dumbest villain. He's always like a first level, first tier, like, piece of shit.
Yeah, but I still enjoy him just because he's funny, brute strength, but like, you just easily take him out. That's why I like that Andrew Garfield got a matchup with him more often, because he just made him look like a moron.
I could not take Spider Twilight seriously. I fell asleep. Like, every time I tried to watch the first one, I fell asleep.
No, I can actually watch those. I just can never, ever watch again Spider-Man 3 from Tobey Maguire.
You know what? I do give Amazing its respect, though, because they did the Goblin's Dilemma correctly. Because if you remember, they, like, the Goblin's Dilemma is Gwen Stacy's death. They did that in the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, but he saves her. And it's MJ, not Gwen Stacy. So it was just like that was one of my complaints with that all the time at the time, or, you know, was just that they totally fucked over the Goblin's Dilemma. And so I will give Amazing its credit. They did it correctly.
Yes, they did.
Of course, that's the tragedy of Spider-Man. That's the problem with Spider-Man, is Spider-Man, Spider-Man can't have a story where he doesn't have to overcome something. And so he never gets a really, truly happy ending. And that's what kind of, like, Spider-Man is the most well-rounded hero emotionally. And so I should look up to that. And yet it annoys the crap out of me, because I just want a happy resolution. And he has to lose to be able to move forward, because his whole point is, with great power comes great responsibility. And the best way to show responsibility is to make the kid overcome tragedy. So he's always got to have a bittersweet ending. And I hate that. And that is why I give Spider-Man a solid... Well, what do you give Spider-Man?
I'm not giving it higher than a C.
Really? Wow.
I didn't care for Tobey Maguire at all in it.
When you don't like someone, you don't like someone hard.
If he wasn't in it, a B+.
I fully expect that when I actually talk about the X-Men comics I've been reading, you're just going to interfere with things like Cyclops. Fuck Cyclops.
Look, but Cyclops has grown to just know that he's going to be there, unfortunately. Always going to make it a B.
So I give, I personally, No Way Home, a B+. I was going to give it an A-, but I have more bravery to give it a B+, knowing that you give it in the C range. So any outrage we take is going to be for your grade, from the, you know, fanboys who will be. I love the cameos. I thought it was fun.
I got buddies that hated me for saying that already. He's like, I can't believe you can hate on him. I'm like, look, y'all just don't. I feel like you guys are really overlooking the fact of how terrible the third one is. It's not worth it.
Yeah, so but it gave me more confidence to give the B+. I did like the cameos. I liked all three of them, even Spider Twilight. I agree with you. He was funny. He did a good job. I do not care for that nature of Spider-Man where there's always got to be some, like, I'm a sucker for a happy ending. That's why I like most of my MCU films, because it's always, like, for the most part, except for, like, extreme examples like Endgame, it's always, like, a good comic book happy ending resolution, or at least it's left open enough that even the sad parts aren't that sad, you know, Endgame notwithstanding. But, you know, so I'm a sucker for happy endings, and that's why Spider-Man always gets, he's always got those knocks against him in my book. Sorry, people.
True. He's the one that has to suffer the most, oddly enough.
Well, and that's the thing, is like, I fucking love the Batman, but Batman is so to compare the two, Batman's so emotionally stunted. Like, Batman's whole character arc is that he's in a state of arrested development. He's never allowed himself to move past the moment of his parents' death. And so as a result, he fights crime with that, like, that's what fuels his mission. And so he's literally in a state of arrested development. And he's so emotionally stunted and limited, and yet all you need for a happy ending in a Batman movie is for him to beat the bad guy that he's been fighting the whole movie. So, like, it's always a happy ending, because, like, oh, he fucking took out the Riddler, happy. He fucking took out the Joker, happy ending. Like, even, and I know, like, you're wondering, like, well, but in, you know, Dark Knight Returns, Harvey Dent died, it's a really bittersweet ending. I'm like, it's bitter, and that's the thing, is I'm calling it a happy ending in the sense that it's firm comic book resolution, not that shaky, like, everything's tragic type of ending. I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's just, the thing about comics is even the worst parts are never really that bad, because any death can be reversed as long as a writer wants to use them. And they kind of use that rule in the movies too. So that's why it's hard to take those scenes as seriously as some people do. And so I still call it happy endings, even though, you know, maybe some bad things happen. Because in the comics, no one ever really dies.
So proceeding on that, where I'm going to the Batman.
Yeah.
On to the Batman. I know how Senseless knows that I feel about it. I never really care for the character as much, but I think he's just overdone. But I actually found this one movie to be actually good. It was long, ridiculously long, but it really did develop each character along the way. It didn't just kind of like plug them in and then they're gone the rest of the movie. It had them literally show up at least two more times. So you get to see them go through the story and kind of not evolve, but yeah, evolve into where they're supposed to lie. Because this is Batman early on figuring out his whole full apparatus of how he's going to go about things. Yes, he has his code and all that, but the attire that he has, his setup is very elementary compared to his masters once he's the freaking Dark Knight Rises.
Well, and that's the thing, is they firmly established it as year two. And for me, like, okay, when it comes to the DC movies, everybody shits on them. I actually agree with that whole joke where, you know, you got that meme where it goes Marvel movies and the person goes, lights, camera, action. And, you know, then you got the DC movies and the guy goes, camera, action. You know, but the thing that gets me about these about newer DC movies is, like, they're really hitting the mark on the feel of reading the character's comic book. And so, like, I know people had different things to say about Wonder Woman 84, but if you know anything about Wonder Woman comics, like, her whole life is fucking confusing. And so the movie
confusing movie, but I didn't really mind it, oddly.
Well, that's the thing, is like, it totally fit her comic style. And it's like, just for a quick example, like, at different times, her origins have changed. Whether or not she's ever gone back to Themyscira is random based on, you know, writer and story arc. So, like, for all the random jumps in logic and stuff, it just made sense for being in a Wonder Woman movie. And it's the same with this Batman movie, where he's the world's greatest detective, according to their comics taglines. And that's what this was him being a detective in a very much like his best detective stories style. You know, not the superhero shit he does with Justice League. This is the, you know, someone's doing something insidious in Gotham underneath the radar, and I need to sniff it out, and I need to find the clues, and I need to understand this conspiracy of what's going on around me. And they did it really well.
They did to the point where he's actually not so great, which is funny because they did throw that line in where he's like, well, aren't you the world's greatest detective? Yeah. I was like, ooh, nice shade. Which I was like, all right, this is going to prove to something. And it does. For those who haven't watched it, he's not so great. He was learning his ropes.
Well, yeah, it was,
decent
it was a solid year two story.
But the evolution of, or the beginning of Riddler, I like it. I like where he's at. The little cameo or whatever onto his most biggest menace is also shown there. I don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't watched it.
What the hell are you talking about? It's out on streaming now. If they haven't watched it, it's their fucking fault.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't give a shit about ruining it for any of you. Sorry, people. But yeah, Barry Keoghan shows up as Joker.
Crocodiles.
And, huh?
Oh, no, I was fucking around. I was saying it was Crocodile. Not Joker.
No, because here's the thing. Like, so I saw it with a couple of my brothers-in-law. And it was, I thought it was hilarious. One of them got the extra large Pepsi, right? And he sat through the entire credits to see the end credit scene. And do you remember what that was?
No, because I might have missed it.
It was the computer screen directing you to the website that where they release shit. And then, so the thing is, I firmly believe, I believe that, you know, they were waiting on the returns to see how this movie did. And I do think it did well enough, because I think we never would have gotten that deleted scene where he gives Joker the file, which I believe they had to have found through that website again or something. But that might have been where it was leaked or something. But so he gives Joker that file, and then eagle eye viewers have noticed that Joker steals a paperclip from the file.
Oh.
And so the thing is, I have a fan theory about how it's going to go down. I think in the next movie, Joker and Riddler become friends. I think that the next movie kind of adapts sort of the Arkham games and takes some cues from that. Maybe there's a Hugo Strange bit in there where, like, Hugo Strange gets the time to build up an Arkham City type deal, and Joker and Riddler are two of the and Batman has to go in because they've kidnapped somebody or something and take them down. And in the end, Riddler is taken back into the asylum, but somehow Joker escapes. And then the third movie is just Batman versus Joker. But the twist is that, you know, through it all, the Court of Owls was fucking around. And so in the third act of the third movie, they have like a Batman versus Joker versus Court of Owls, who will be left standing at the end. And then, you know, maybe in the fourth movie, there's a B plot with a Robin. And then in the fourth movie, it's Batman versus Talon, as Talon tries to corrupt Dick Grayson and bring him to his original sort of designation, like in the comic. So, like, I think they could do a lot of shit with this movie. Personally,
well, you love to speculate so much. I'd be surprised if you even get to movie 3.
You think? Oh, you'd be surprised. Nah, it made money. If it makes money, they'll keep making it.
I'll be surprised.
Come on, that's what they said.
I actually give this like a B plus. It's a better name. I like the overall.
You know, I'm.
I like how it flows.
I'm going to admit I'm a fucking Batman mark. Batman, some of my favorite comics are Batman comics. If you like comic books, if you ever get the chance, you definitely need to pick up The Long Halloween, which, by the way, there's a great two-part animated movie on Disney Plus, or not Disney Plus, fuck, HBO Max. And then the immediate successor to Long Halloween is Dark Victory, and that one's really good too. And also The Killing Joke. And also Year One. If you let me sit here and name titles, I'm going to name like 20 Batman titles that I fucking love to read over and over again. So,
you know what you haven't named?
What?
The grade for this movie.
Oh yeah. So that being said, being a complete at Batman mark, I give this movie an A-, my highest grade of the night. But I enjoy it. But I'm a mark, so you can't trust my you can't trust my shit at all.
No, never do. No one has again.
All right. So did you see Guardians of Justice?
No, that's why I'm going on Book of Boba Fett.
All right. You can see Guardians of Justice if you want. It's its own niche. I give it a solid B minus. It'll appeal to the people that really like it.
Isn't that the one that DP did a cameo?
It's a cameo. Fuck, he's the main guy.
Okay, never mind. How much I paid attention. All right. I have it. I just need to watch it. It looked interesting. I think it's on my list.
Yeah, DDP plays a Batman type character.
Watching this then.
Yeah,
I actually got to see the man. I didn't get to meet him, unfortunately, in person. But different side story.
All right. So what about so you said you're moving on to Book of Boba Fett. What about Book of Boba Fett? What'd you think?
So to give
some context, Book of Boba Fett. It's I think. After the second season of Mandalorian, and Boba is taking Jabba's old throne.
Yeah, and that he was in what movie 6 that he gets eaten in.
Yeah,
yeah, he survives that, takes over, knowing that the whole planet is kind of in disarray. He takes
he takes Jabba's throne, and it's his. There's other gangs there too, and it's him. It's sort of the story of him taking the throne, and it starts when he gets pulled out of the Sarlacc. And the thing was, I was talking to somebody, and they were like, it was too much like a Western. I was like, well, that's exactly what it was. You didn't realize that you were watching a space Western? They're like, what do you mean? I was like, okay, so it ends with a fucking shootout, like most Westerns, and the beginning. He literally, like the first, like there's a, the beginning is interspersed with these scenes where he basically has a Dances with Wolves montage with the Tusken Raiders.
Well, not to mention, like, he goes by little towns that literally are no more than a 3-block spread. That's the whole point of the West. I mean, that's all the Westerns were.
No, but that's what I mean. Is like it's all basic homages. Like it's so easy to pick up. Like the first part, the whole Tusken Raiders thing is basically. My gosh, the only thing they needed was for Boba Fett to like fall in love with one of the Tusken women.
No, but how long did it take him to figure that out? Like, are you kidding me? That was like obvious.
but that being said, space Western, like
I liked his flashbacks, his evolution, his trying to bring order to a place. I also liked how it really tied in the Mandalorian.
Yeah, Mandalorian, and I don't understand how so many Star Wars fans haven't seen the show, but Star Wars Rebels, like it started as a stupid kids show, but that movie got deep quick, or show got deep quick, and like. So much of what they're doing is building up mysteries that were left in the final episode of that show. Like Cad Bane showing up is not a coincidence. And he is a big part in both the Clone Wars and Star Rebels. Wars Rebels.
You watch Rebels, but yes, he is actually. He's always shown as a guy you definitely do not want to fuck with.
Well, the rumor is they've cast Admiral Thrawn. The Ahsoka show is supposed to go through and include some hints as to, like, something about whatever happened to Ezra Bridger. And, so the rumor is, I think I heard that they cast Sabine Wren as well. So, like, you know, there's some really cool shit coming in the Star Wars camp, and Book of Boba Fett did not disappoint. Like, it honestly, I'm not a Star Wars mark actually, and I want to give Book of Boba Fett some pretty high marks when we give the grade. So,
I mean, basically going on, I also do like the fact that they had a different Wookiee. I don't know why. I loved seeing the different one was really cool and just funny because he just had
badass.
Funny. He has those electric brass knucks and just beats the crap out of people. So it's hysterical. But I give that show a solid A.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm gonna give it the same as my Batman grade. I'm gonna give that an A-. It was great.
Yeah, I liked everything on there. I mean, there wasn't really many characters I hated or wanted out. Like, I mean, the punks that he ends up like dealing
even
with
them, I wanted to be like fucking mod kids, but they proved themselves in the show. Yeah. They did.
I enjoy them in the last, I think, two episodes where like they really show their worth, and I'm like, all right, the reason.
Right.
All right. How about Moon Knight?
I haven't seen it.
You suck.
How about Superman and Lois?
Yeah, not worth my time. All right. So
okay. So wait. You know why I haven't seen Moon Knight? You just heard me give my whole theory on what they're gonna do in the Batman, even though I know like maybe a quarter of that will actually happen. The reason I don't watch things like Moon Knight or Book of Boba Fett as they come out is because I am a raging speculator, and then I wind up wanting my speculation more than what they actually go with. And it's not fair to the people. Like, in most of these cases, we're dealing with professionals who have spent years honing their craft, and they're really good at it. And, you know, so it's I wait till the end. So I'll see Moon Knight, I promise.
You're going to be thoroughly disappointed. I'll assume.
Huh?
My prediction is you'll be thoroughly disappointed then.
At Moon Knight?
I think so.
Really?
Knowing you, yes.
Oh, come on. If I see it all at once, I've loved everything. Like,
all right.
Though I did read, so I read a Moon Knight comic from 1985. Just as the show was coming out, it was something that popped up on my Marvel Unlimited feed, and I said, "Why not?" And I was thoroughly whelmed. I didn't dislike it, but by the end, I found myself like being like, "I'm just gonna finish this so that I can fucking read something else." It was only 5 issues, and yeah, I still kind of was bored by the end. Anything special? I mean, you know, people often compare him to Batman, and if that's the comparison, then
it's not a good comparison. But he's interesting nonetheless.
I think I'll like the show.
We'll see. We do this next episode. Well, actually, we'll do one sooner than that, but we'll definitely retouch on Moon Knight in about 3 weeks.
Yeah. All right. So did you see Batwoman? Huh?
I was going to say Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
But you skipped Batwoman.
All right. I vaguely remember season 2, but I don't watch the whole thing. I actually thought it was good, but apparently got given a lot of shit.
I want them to keep going. They needed to recast.
I like the first one, honestly.
I don't know. I thought it was interesting what they did in season 2. Once we move past the recast, I'd like to see what they do with like future seasons, because you know.
Well, it looked like they got a lot of criticism in season 2, so I don't even know if they're going to go on to a 3.
I mean, I don't know.
It looked like it really left like that boat rocking, and they're gonna sink.
But it's hard to do. I just hope they give them the credit. They give them the chance, because I think that when you do something that ambitious, when you have to do something that ambitious, and I get that it wasn't a fun experience for Ruby Rose, but I also, you know, you hear a lot of rumors when you read a lot of internet bullshit, and the rumors about her on set. And the fact that, like, literally none of her co-stars were on her side. Like, she was trying to act like, oh, I stood up for all of them. And they're like, when did you do this standing up for me? You know?
I mean, I didn't read anything into it. I just like, all right, there was a reason why she's not in anymore, period. I thought they wrote her out in a not the worst way.
Yeah, but she flamed out and started attacking the show, kind of like, yeah.
Kind of like
any wrestler without the backup of her castmates. You know, like how Ray Fisher criticized them. WWE. Huh?
Kind of like every wrestler that leaves WWE.
Kind of, but I was thinking more like how the guy who played Cyborg was speaking out about Joss Whedon and the WB production and stuff like that. And like the difference between him and Ruby Rose is like he actually had the support of the people that like Gal Gadot spoke up and was like kind of like, yeah, you know, Whedon was kind of a creep. And, you know, so he actually did get backing from the other people. Like, it wasn't just him speaking out. It was him and others. Whereas with Ruby Rose, she complained and it was kind of like just her.
Yeah.
So
I thought season two was all right, but I honestly overall would give it a C.
Yeah, I'd give it a C+, because I think they had a difficult task to do. But they still like they have a lot of work in the off season to figure out if they get another chance. They got a lot that they gotta, you know.
I hopefully so. I think the overall cast that they have is good. They gotta somehow make her more interesting for people to want to tune in on her. I don't know.
But rumor is with all these fucking arrests for Ezra Miller that, you know, maybe we'll be seeing a cannibalization of the CW shows as Grant Gustin becomes the new film Flash.
I would actually appreciate that. I thought he was good. I was really hoping they would have stuck with him anyway. But hey.
I noticed he started to lift weights in between seasons because he got really buff in one. And it was just like, that's more Batman, Superman, not Flash, you fool. Yo, what about Legends? Did you see the recent season of Legends?
I am literally right in half of it.
Well, then we'll wait to talk about it because we'll let you finish. It's
funny how much they're just going back and forth and altering certain people. I'm doing it. I haven't finished it.
I just love how they've embraced the silly.
Yeah.
Like, they started out so serious and it's just become this joke.
I like it's a joke and I like that they're just having fun with it. I'm enjoying it, but I have not finished season 7.
I like how, yeah. It's interesting. Have you even tried to watch Aquaman King of Atlantis?
Is it on HBO Max?
It is, but I think it's like a children's Aquaman show. I don't know. I tried to watch the first episode. I just couldn't get into it.
No, I've been watching the latest Young Justice, and I just saw Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
I saw Sonic 2, but another reason why I haven't seen more comic stuff is because, you know what? The other thing I've been watching a lot of is my favorite, you know, pro-America propaganda during the War on Terror, 24.
I like Sonic 2. I thought Idris Elba being Knuckles is really interesting.
All of Sonic 2, I enjoyed. Knuckles was hilarious. Like, oh my gosh, just.
You know what he reminded me of? Drax's Destroyer, played by Batista, just like a different form of Knuckles, played by Idris Elba.
I mean, but it was all fun. Oh my gosh,
took everything so literal, and he was just like, I don't know what this is, but I win. I'm like, Batista.
There was just great sequences. I loved when Robotnik formed his giant robot, and for once, they didn't have the stock heavy Black Sabbath heavy metal song. You know, they straight up backed it with Pantera's Walk. So yeah. You know,
I like how the robot really is a throwback to the old comics and shows.
Oh, I loved all the references to the old like shows and video games and stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I like this Super Saiyan look. I know it's just supersonic, but once I realized the reference is almost to Dragon Ball Z, I was like, I like it.
it was a fun movie to watch, and everybody who rode home with me had to listen to Pantera.
No, I enjoyed it. I honestly liked it. Sonic the original, probably a C plus. I give this one a B.
I enjoyed both of them. I give them both solid Bs. You know, don't go to it expecting cinematic greatness, but do go to it and expecting to have fun.
Yeah, hysterical. Hands off fight scene was amazing.
Apparently, it's Jim Carrey's last movie.
Hey, good for him. He's been acting forever. He needs a break.
I mean, I guess it's better than going out on League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I mean, if you can't top that fucking masterpiece, you might as well go out on Sonic 2.
I was honestly so sad they didn't do a second one. I know people hated it, but honestly,
no, it wasn't that people hated it. You know who hated League of Extraordinary Gentlemen the most?
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery fucking retired and never made another movie again, and then he died.
That was a shame. I actually thought it wasn't a bad movie. I didn't know how they were going to do the second one.
I didn't think it was a bad movie either. I liked it.
Yeah.
But like I said, my favorite movies are in like most people's C-plus range. So when I give something a bad rating, understand that I probably actually enjoyed it. I just am thinking of, you know, how you'll think of it. Because yep. I enjoyed League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. This movie I thought was actually, you know, probably better than League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, but, you know, a lot of people would consider that not a very high bar to cross. but yeah, I don't know. I do feel like with Jim Carrey, we might be seeing another Jay-Z retirement more than anything else.
I hope if they're doing another one, I hate to say, but he plays a funny Robotnik one way or the other.
Yeah, but remember when? First off, we know that the next one they're going to focus on Shadow anyway. But
I do hope they put in other characters from his comics though, like the Crocodile, the Union. I forget their names. Even Silver, I hope they bring him in. That'd be kind of cool.
Knuckles went well. They probably will, but I mean, I still feel like Jim Carrey's retirement is going to be like when Jay-Z was like, "I'm retiring," and then he came out with a song where he literally said, "You know, perfect time to say goodbye." But when I come back, like Jordan wearing the 4-5, and it was like, "What the fuck, man? I thought you just said you're retiring. All we need to do is wait 2 years, and you're just taking a 2 year break, asshole." You know, and that's the same thing. I feel like we're still going to see Jim Carrey in places. Like, he's not going to be a recluse. He's going to be like, "I'm retiring from acting. Now look at my paintings." You know, he's still going to be seeking attention somewhere or another. It's just, you know, he's retiring from the movie thing.
You know, like Brett Favre. And Wayne Gretzky did retire. Who else am I retired? Oh,
you remember that Daniel Tosh joke where... Like, he had a joke where he was talking about how people were like, Favre should retire. And he was like, "Okay, wait a second. Let's break this down. He makes millions of dollars for throwing a football. And then when he's too old to make millions of dollars for throwing a football, he can make millions of dollars for being the backup to the guy who throws the football. And then when he's too old to be the guy to be the backup to the guy throwing the football, he could totally just join the practice squad and make hundreds of thousands of dollars for doing that. Or he can become a broadcaster and make millions of dollars." Like, the retirement angle and the amount of time he stayed, it was just like, no, he could do this for forever and make tons of money doing it.
Yeah, that's why he does commercials.
For Wrangler.
Yep. Oh, and what was that other one? Copper Sleeve.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's all, at least between the two of us, what we've seen recently.
Yep, and pretty soon you're all going to get to hear about what I'm reading. Just what you wanted, half-assed book reports from me.
I'm gonna try and read something so I can kind of tune in because I have this list. Yeah.
Yeah, you're Marvel Unlimited too, don't you?
Yeah, I do. But I will be watching a couple other shows, and if well, Sensels hasn't watched it, you get to hear me talk about it.
Oh man, and oh, you know what I'm reading right now, and I'm totally almost at the point where I might get what it's all about. Is the 10 Lives and 10 Deaths of Wolverine.
Ooh, that actually sounds good.
Yeah, that's another one. But I think next time I'm going to be talking about the Spider-Man, or not Spider-Man, fuck, Star comics I've been reading, because those ones were fascinating. And I'm still not done. I got a few more to get through. But I think we'll be recording before I do that, so. All right.
It from us tonight.
An episode that isn't 2 months in the future. Our gift to you.
Good night.
Night.